Just after 2 o'clock here on Thursday, May 28th, 2026. Welcome inside the collective on this Thursday. I'm Bobby Trossett, as always, joined alongside my co-hosts, Jeff Zarebeck of The Athletic, Cole Jackson of Road Graders. And obviously, you've seen some irregular time formatting this week. A lot of it is just due to the offseason, or in today's case, the fact that week two of Ravens voluntary organized team activities is now in the rear view. And yesterday, of course, Jeff had a chance, as the beat community did, to observe. So we're going to hear from him on findings, observations, and of course, we'll all react to Lamar Jackson's first press conference since January after the Steelers lost. The center battle. Jeff, Cole, did you notice that about Jeff? He just viciously attacked those that were at the podium yesterday with a bunch of questions we needed answers to. Well done, and happy fourth birthday to Cole's daughter, Quinn.
Yes, happy. We're having a Paw Patrol birthday party, so drop some Zumas down in the chat. it's been great. It's been great to watch everybody get back to the podium and get the questions coming in, and it's great to hear from Lamar. I mean, what was this, Jeff? The first time in since the end of the season. So it's been great. I thought the questions were great. I thought Lamar's openness was great. I feel like we actually got some information. So it was great just to kind of get back into a regular function. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
I think it was just great to see him on the practice field, for one. I've said this all along. It's a different vibe in the building when the franchise quarterback is in there. It's a different energy on the practice field when the franchise quarterback is out there. It feels like the stakes raise the second he walks in the building. And we'll talk more about it, Bobby, but it was kind of funny, his comment that he said, every time I walk in the building and I see Jesse Minter, he's smiling. And everybody in that building is smiling when Lamar Jackson's in there happy and healthy. And I don't blame Jesse, because when QB1 is there and feeling good and engaged in everything they're doing, they feel really good about their chances and the future of the season.
Now let's dive right into this Lamar side of things. And by the way, I should have mentioned, this is our first simulcast, meaning we are live in the Twitter space. So for those of you in the YouTube space, if you could like the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can consider becoming a channel member or gift-giving membership this offseason. We also want to say thanks to Prize Picks for the continued support of the program. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. Might as well start with sort of the elephant in the room, Jeff, there with his future. He was asked a number of times about the contract and obviously deferred to similar answers that he's used in the past. But Jameson did ask him directly about his future, knowing that there's 2 years left on the current deal. The restructure took place in March that gave Eric DaCosta some much-needed flexibility from a team-building perspective in the weeks ahead, and of course, with this offseason as well at large. Your thoughts on how Lamar chose to really leave no room for doubt with his words on his future in Baltimore?
Yeah, I think it was as expected. He's it was funny how he admitted he thought about how he would answer those questions. Usually he plays it off like kind of, oh, you know, you're surprising me with this, but I'm still not answering it. This one was, look, I thought about the non-answer I'm going to give you, which is always kind of fun. I didn't take a ton from his answers or his non-answers other than it's business as usual for Lamar. I mean, this is how he's chosen to handle these questions about his future. He's made no bones about the fact that anytime he's been asked since he's been drafted that he loves the city, he loves the organization. His actions, I think, all offseason tell you that he's pleased with the direction of things and he wants to be here. He reaffirmed that yesterday. And he doesn't particularly want to get these questions regularly, guys. But look, they're just going to get louder as we go throughout the season, right? And his cap hit goes to $84.5 million next year. That number is completely untenable if you're going to build a roster. So at some point, they need a solution here. But they don't do work You know, the Eric DeCosta and him, they're not going to do work when anyone, you know, everyone else is telling them they should. They'll be ready to go when they're ready to go. I think the Ravens are ready to go, and it's just going to take Lamar and Eric sitting down and hammering out this deal. I still say I think it gets done. I think both sides made it clear they want to get it done. And when Lamar's ready, they'll be ready. And Bob, that would be, even though it would totally interrupt my pre training camp vacation and really annoy me, it would be a great thing to get this behind him before the starts of the season. So there's no questions being asked. Not every performance by Lamar is a referendum about his future in Baltimore. Teammates aren't being asked, could this be the last year, this, that, and the other thing. I think both sides understand what's at stake, and I still think both sides get this deal done. I can't give you a date. There's always you know, uncertainty when it comes to all things Lamar and the Ravens, but usually when two sides want to get a deal done with the Ravens, they get a deal done. And there's no reason for the Ravens not to sort of get this out of the way as soon as they can and as soon as the quarterback is ready to kind of hammer out the deal.
It's interesting, right? Like we it feels very much like Groundhog Day with 2022, where we're kind of going back into this. He's going to be asked, you know, almost every time he speaks, he'll be asked about it. I'm sure his teammates will start getting asked about it soon. But the one thing about, if we learned anything from 2022 when we went through this saga, they're not going to negotiate through the media. They're not going to leak stuff. They're not going to. It's one of those things. Anyone that, you know, claims publicly that they know what's going on, you usually know it's BS. So like I kind of see both sides, because like I think it'd be irresponsible to not ask from the media perspective, because I know everybody's like, you know, why are they asking? They know the way, but you kind of have to, like that's part of the job, right? So it's just I actually really appreciate Lamar being like honest about it. Like he's prepared to give those non-answers. You guys have to ask. It's just going to be this ongoing cat and mouse game. We know we're not going to get anything until the deal's done. So it's just one of those things where, you know, we've kind of seen this movie before. All Lamar's basically said is he wants to be here. He's committed to the team. He's committed to Baltimore. I don't really have a reason to doubt it until there starts to be an actual sign that he wants out. Even the trade request back in 2022 seemed like, we've seen this so many times from star players where they, you know, ask for a trade and then, you know, a couple weeks later they sign a deal. It's just seems to be how this process goes nowadays. So I mean, like I said, we're gonna go through this. It is what it is, but you know, and the graphic up on the screen right now is Jeff's tweet about saying he'll leave the fully guaranteed contract talk back in 2022. And that's kind of my one of my, like, a good piece of what I'm trying to say is that was the discussion for months and months. And then it turns out that wasn't really a core piece of the negotiation. No one truly knew what was going on. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this process goes. Hopefully it's just done sooner rather than later so that we can avoid it and get into regular season mode. But I do think people need to kind of lay off the whole media asking that. Like, they kind of have to ask, and they're going to continue to ask.
Jeff, heard from, and go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Bob.
I'm just going to kind of transition to other things that, you know, Lamar and both Jesse were asked about yesterday, and that was really each other. And Lamar's spirits in this honeymoon phase appear to be high, referred to it as a breath of fresh air, has been very animated. I think, you know, no matter how the press conference was handled yesterday, I think there would have been a level of optimism to it because it was the first time. There's so many firsts that we've been covering here over the last couple of months since Jesse Minter took over. But Lamar clearly showing signs of happiness thus far, given the new change with Jesse at the top. And then 29-year-old Declan Doyle, same age as Lamar. What have you seen from yesterday? You know, I just had the highlights playing from Ravens Productions. I'll cut back to that in a second during your answer, Jeff. But, you know, other than what we've seen, the vantage point that you had, what have you noticed about Lamar?
Yeah, real quick, Bobby, and then I'll answer you. Yeah, I think it would be journalism malpractice, Cole, not to ask Lamar Jackson about his future in Baltimore and about his thoughts on John Harbaugh and about his contract status. He is the most influential voice in that locker room. He is the face of Baltimore's sporting landscape. His future is a huge deal. His contract status has been a major story. So, yeah, you have to ask. I know, you know, the idea is not to make Lamar uncomfortable. The idea is to give him an opportunity to talk. And sometimes you never know. You can't just assume. Like people always said, well, why do you guys even bother asking Harbaugh questions about injuries? He would answer them sometimes. He didn't, you know, like his average may not have been 500 or anywhere close to that, but you'd get some answers. And occasionally he would give you information. So you don't know until you ask. But I thought Bobby overall, his news conference was pretty much what I expected in terms of what he said. You could parse words all you want. Try to read Lamar's body language. I think that's always kind of an exercise in futility because he truly don't know sometimes. He's a very unique guy. But I liked what I saw on the field. I thought he looked pretty sharp. A couple of his early throws, one of them was batted down by Trey Hendrickson. Then he was tried to kind of force the ball into Zay Flowers, who's surrounded by three defenders, and Nate Wiggins picks it off. I'm not going to overreact to interceptions at this time of year. This is the time to let it go and to give guys a shot. Otherwise, I thought he had a pretty sharp practice, but how he was moving around, I think, was the best part about it. How he was interacting with his coaches. And I'm not saying none of this stuff has happened in the past, because it has. But this is the first time we've seen him. Declan Doyle is very hands-on. He's involved in everything. He's constantly talking to players. He's constantly talking to other coaches. He has a little bit of a different way about him as Todd Monken, who's also very involved. But you still see Declan and hear him a lot. And there are a lot of times where he was in Lamar's ear, or he was in Tyler Huntley's ear, or he was going down to talk to Mark Andrews about something. And I think Lamar was very engaged with his teammates. He was joking around Trey Hendrickson at one point. He certainly was talking to the young receivers and the other quarterbacks. Look, that's what you like to see. This is everything short of the lack of a contract extension. This has been a really good offseason for Lamar Jackson in terms of all the other signs: getting healthy, being involved in the team's decision-making, being involved in the interview process, being present and in the building. By all accounts, he's been really sharp on the field. All that stuff is just been all positive. Just because he didn't make a couple OTAs last week doesn't suddenly mean he's unhappy here, or he wants out, or this is Lamar being Lamar. And that's what I think we tried to say last week, guys, didn't we? I mean, this was different because Lamar communicated exactly where he was going to be, what he had to do, and when he would be back. And guess what? He was back when he said he would. He was involved, and everything has happened according to terms. And that's all, you know, nobody expects anyone to be at all 10 OTAs. Like, players have stuff going on sometimes. So yesterday was a continuation of that, guys. I really thought it was he looked good. He looked content, happy. He looked in good shape. And he looked like the leader of a football team with very high aspirations.
Yeah, I think that's what I found so frustrating about last week is just specifically, and we talked about this last week, so I'm just kind of rehashing it, but the fact that they were pretty blatant, like Jesse Minter straight up said that they've communicated with Lamar. Lamar told him what his plan was, and then Lamar met the plan. It's like, it's just one of those things where you make a mountain out of a molehill. I know we weren't doing that, but it's mostly the national media guys. They just, Lamar's a great talking point for them and, you know, sells clicks, so they do it. But, you know, this is what we wanted, right? We wanted Lamar in the building. Lamar's checked every box. He's been involved. He's been, you know, locked in. And I think one of the big things was hearing yesterday, and Bobby, I don't know if you have a clip of the quote, but just where Lamar was talking about his hamstring and how it impacted him from weeks 3 to 18. And then, you know, Jeff's comment that, you know, moving well. And I think that's one of the big things with me, because even when Lamar Jackson was playing last year, he wasn't 100% healthy. And it's not just Lamar Jackson, you know, being the starting quarterback, it's a healthy Lamar Jackson and what that does to defenses and how important that is. And that's one of my big things that I want to see is just a healthy offseason, seeing him, you know, get back to 100% and then be able to carry that into the season, because when he's able to run, it completely changes the equation for a defense. And you could see it at times. He just wasn't himself. He got hit way too often early in the year. And obviously the hamstring issue plagued him all year, and you could see it clear as day, even when he got a little bit of his juice back. You know, I think it was after the bye week, we kind of saw him run a little bit more, but I thought you also could see it with Todd Monken's play calling. Even things like the zone read were something he couldn't, you know, rely on as much because he didn't want Lamar running the ball. So that all matters. And I think that's one of the big takeaways for me. It was just seeing a healthy Lamar Jackson back.
Yeah. Jeff, you know, Cole just mentioned it, right? We thought, a lot of us thought, a lot of speculation was had about this Ed Oliver hit that he sustained kind of being the bullseye. But Lamar says no. At least that's what he shared yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know if this was a case of just not wanting to give the Bills the satisfaction that they sort of got to him. But no, I mean, I think you take Lamar at his word. And that was, though, one of the most vicious hits we've seen him ever take. That's the one of Lamar's superpowers is his ability to avoid those blindside vicious hits, or, you know, even in the open field. But he couldn't avoid that one. And that was, that should have been flagged, first of all. Second of all, that was, you know, he showed a lot of toughness in coming back from that. And, you know, it's good that he confirmed it, but I don't think any of us needed affirmation that, look, Lamar wasn't healthy for much of that year. It permeated through the entire offense because he wasn't practicing. And even when he was out there, there was the lack of practice. And then there was the matter of one of his best qualities was sort of taken away. And one of their go-to plays, you know, I just was earlier, I was looking at, I think it was Warren Sharp, who said he was the last ranked quarterback in the red zone last year. And that is incredible. And I think, you know, his lack of mobility was an issue there, or that not maybe not lack of mobility, because he still was probably more mobile than a lot of quarterbacks, but just the, you know, they sort of didn't have as many plays at their disposal because, you know, there's certain things they would have preferred to run. They probably couldn't run, or he didn't want to run because of how he felt. So, you know, all that mattered last year, and getting to the starting gate with a healthy Lamar Jackson, there's no bigger priority for this team. And so far, so good. He looked really good yesterday. He's been at most of the offseason workout program, putting in the work. So you presume he's in very good shape. And, you know, he should be ready to go. He certainly seems excited and upbeat.
It's interesting you brought up the red zone, because I think that's one of the areas where this was really noticeable. The way defenses aligned to defend them last year versus years before, when you're spread horizontally and you don't have to worry about the quarterback and his running ability, not that you don't have to worry about it, but when you're not considering it as heavily as you have when he's healthy, it completely changes the numbers game. And when you're in the red zone, that's all that matters down there. When you're trying to cover every single gap and defend the pass, it's a completely different equation for the defense. So it really was noticeable last year.
Here are those specific numbers from Warren Sharp that Jeff referenced. And man, what a steep drop off too, collectively, not just for Lamar, but collectively. That was a calling card for Todd Monken and this offense inside the 20s, his first two seasons. That's part of the reason why he won an MVP and had two MVP caliber seasons, because of how efficient and dominant they were once they got there on the field, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was another stat, guys, that he was a top 10 red zone quarterback in five of the previous 6 years in terms of EPA and all that. And he was number one in 2024. He was number one in another year. So it was out of character, really. And it was a big issue. It was a big issue for this team. By the way, look at me setting you up for these graphics. If people would assume we've talked about this when we really haven't. I'm just going on a tangent, and you're ready for it, Bobby, showing the pro you are.
Listen, I used to be a shooting guard during my hoop state, but I took over point guard when we started this show, for sure. Now you're shooting the rock, baby. And let's talk about the NBA Finals as we segue into Prize Picks, the continued support of the program. We certainly appreciate. And at Prize Picks, here, let's make sure we do this. A little bit of finessing here to get Prize Picks up. And again, if you use code, that's HMA, you play $5 and you'll get 50 instantly. We'll throw up a little something, something on our screen as well. And now we're bang. Let's roll. Okay. What do we want to take a look at? NBA. When is game six?
Tonight, I believe.
Game six is tonight. We should probably take a quick look at how we've fared here recently. So,
I know we hit SGA, Bobby. Yes. He had over 30 plus. Yes. The other day. I don't think we got Wemby right. He did not look right in that game. He looked tired. And
we've only won one. We suck. What's that? Because we've only won one.
Yeah.
So this was the 19th last week. We only hit on Mitchell. Man.
Yeah. It's been bleak for us.
Look at this. Lost, refund, win. We won in golf. Should we just go with the U.S. Open?
That's actually hilarious.
Okay. Game six. Got to have it if you're San Antonio, obviously. What sticks out here, fellas?
Make it bigger. Scroll a little bit.
What is the Stephen Castle one? I think people are assuming that the Spurs are going to win this game because the NBA wants them to win and wants a draft game seven of the series. And they expect Spurs to be desperate. But, I mean, this Thunder team's ridiculous. Like, it's, you know, they understand the importance of rest, too, when they got the couple injured guys, Mitchell and Jalen Williams. So they get out of the series in six. That gives them plenty of time to rest before the June 3rd start of the, you know. I'm going over on any Alex Caruso statistic. Yeah. He's been arguably their best player in the Western
Conference. He had an injury scare last game. I was worried about that. You're only going to be able to take more. I'd take his PRA, take out the points, do the PRA at 15.5 points, rebounds, assists.
He's so irritating too, but man, is he valuable.
How about, I would definitely take more on Castle points. And then I'd probably take more on Wemby points because I think Wemby's going to be – I really like more on his field goal attempted. I think he's going to have one of those games where he knows he's got to go out and dominate. And so I like the idea of him, you know, taking the bull by the horns, putting the rock in his own hands.
And that's been a big talking point in between games. How do we get Wemby more involved early? And the games where he's been involved early, they've won. Games where he hasn't, they've lost. You know, my theory about Alex Caruso, guys, I never trust a white dude that wears a headband. I just never trust it. I just think it looks so goofy. And back in the day when I played soccer, like when we used to man up, I used to always take the white dude with the goofy headband. That was like, I got that guy. This guy can't be all that tough. But Alex, what's that?
This is why people tune in.
But Alex Caruso, I mean, the only thing worse than a headband is a headband with matching wristbands. But Alex Caruso is an animal. He's really won me over. He can play.
I see that. I'll tell you what, if I hadn't gone the hair transplant route on a marketing partnership a few years ago, I would have had to been the headband guy, Cole. That would have had to be. Would have been a non-negotiable.
You just turned over. Let's go back to the hair transplant part. It was like, what are we?
Yeah.
Only because of marketing, or was it something you would have done anyway?
Well, back during my radio days, they would blast me because the webcam was directly above me and it was a horrific view of my widow's peak. So I would just get rocked and it became a thing. Well, what do you know? One of the listeners, 98 Rock listener, sweet lady named Amy Miller in the Annapolis area at the time was the vice president at the Bosley location in DC. That set the tone. So
is it Bosley? Aren't they the ones that used to do infomercials on Jerry Springer?
Interesting. Oh, Bosley's done. They've done it all, especially in the sports
space. Yeah. So,
it was a successful procedure and Jeff, you never know.
So we have 35 sponsors. Yeah. We have 35 freaking sponsors, but we can't get any hair replacement sponsorships.
Hey, we don't need to send you to Turkey. This is still possible.
Let's help a brother out. They could pay me and I wouldn't get a hair transplant, by the way. I like the bald melon.
Oh, especially when it's summer and you get a little bit of a base layer. That's great. You know, man. That base layer is here. Cole, that was sweet from Liza here, huh?
Yes. Happy birthday to Quinn. Paw Patrol rocks. I ran upstairs because I heard the doorbell ring and my dog was about to lose it. So that was probably another Amazon drop off of a gift she's going to get tonight. So.
What's your favorite pup on Paw Patrol, Cole?
I'm with Zuma. Zuma's like just the laid back and the cut, chill one.
Yeah. I think I like Rubble. He's the fun-loving one, slobbers over everything.
Well, he got his own show. Rubble got his own spinoff, Rubble Crew.
Yeah.
Liza, all right,
go ahead.
You.
Sorry, Bobby. This is what you have to look forward to.
Captain Schaefer says, Bobby doesn't know hamstrings. He's only a four-plate chest dude, LOL. Enjoy you all. Just teasing Bobby after a short vault cast and talking Lamar and head coaching hires. The context here is one upper body day recently in this gym that I belong to. Wednesdays are upper body. I hit 225, which is obviously four plates. I hit a couple reps and I let everybody know about it later that day on the vault. And so, you know, four
plates. Did you have a headband on when you hit it?
Captain, Jesus thank Christ. You for allowing me to revisit 225, which I hadn't seen since high school. It's been a while.
Why did you shorten the vault cast to be with us?
We typically, this time of year, we'll go 60 minutes.
Oh, that's shortened? Holy God.
Is that 12, every day? 60 12, minutes?
12 noon year round.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Man, maybe I should listen to that one day.
I already know you don't.
Don't worry. Jeff didn't know I had a YouTube channel till 3 weeks ago. So
I heard that from somewhere.
And now he's jacked up about the amount of sponsors. He lets us know every 5 minutes we have. He tallies them up in his Excel sheet.
Shit, we'll be doing 8 shows a week by the by July.
The Jay-Z morning hour.
I know.
Second half of the show rolls on. Let's do it. We appreciate you guys for being with us. Obviously, we won't be live at 8 o'clock tonight. And by the way, for your calendars, we're shifting into our off-season programming. So this will be the final Thursday that we're live until August, meaning June and July will be Tuesdays exclusively at varying times. So just know that as an expectation going into the summer, and then we'll be back with you full throttle multiple days per week starting with training camp. Jeff was busy yesterday, as we've mentioned a couple times already, as a member of the beat community that was on the scene. The Ravens had an open portion day 2 here in week 2 of voluntary Ravens organized team activities. And Jeff, we appreciate you because you tried your best when it comes to center. Jesse didn't give you a whole lot besides one specific number of guys that are worthy of first team reps. Here is Jesse Minter responding to your question yesterday.
Jesse, we've been out here for 2 practices. We've seen 2 different guys with the starting center reps. Do you view it as 2 now that you'd like to get reps with the first team, or are there other guys you know you plan to get reps and give an opportunity in that conference?
Yeah, there's quite a few, I would say. There's 3 I can think of. And again, like right now, there really isn't. There's certain guys, like, you know, we put up a depth chart right now, like Lamar's our starting quarterback. I think everybody would understand that. But a lot of the positions where you might not have like a super established guy, it is. Right now, it's an organization chart, and it's different guys getting work with different groups. Sometimes you want to see how a guy does with certain people next to him, and then other certain people next to him the next practice. And so we just want to give those guys a bunch of different reps with our offense, a bunch of different reps with the different interior linemen that they're playing next to, different quarterbacks that they're handling cadences and things like that. And so I think there's a multitude of positions where we're really trying to rotate a lot of pieces.
Well, Jeff, you tried. You tried.
But I did get breaking news. Lamar Jackson is the freaking starting quarterback.
I was shocked. I can't believe we didn't go live instantly.
I ran back to the media room to type out that gem.
That was a word salad there. 50 seconds of a word salad. But we did get that there's one guy as the odd man out in terms of first team worthy reps. Who is it?
It's got to be Nick Dawkins, right? Like, wait, are we talking about the center?
I would say Corey Bullock.
You really? Think he's the odd man out, Jeff.
What do you mean? Like, well, if
He there's four potential centers on the roster right now. And
well, Dawkins, I would think they're not going to start an undrafted rookie at center.
That was kind of my thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I thought
Cole. He basically said there's three guys we're going to get starting rep to. They started with Danny Pinter.
I know what he said. I asked a freaking question. you know what the stupidest rule is with that we have to abide by? I'm going to tell you anyway, even if you don't. We cannot say who's working first team, second team, but you can ask him a question about it. And if he says it, you're good to go with it. So you ask him a question and he's revealed, like we've seen it. Now it's Jovan Gwynn this past week. And then the previous week is Danny Pinter. And they, you know, Ryan Mink put that out there so people can blame Mink if they have an issue. He works for the team. So I feel comfortable repeating it then. And those have been the two so far. So now do we see Corey Bullock next week? That's the interesting question. Bullock's an inside guy. That's where he's been playing, but it hasn't been at center. So, you know, like, does he get that next shot or they want to, are they going to look at someone else? Could they look at a converted, you know, Emory Jones, somebody else? I think that's the big question, guys. If this is a three-man rotation, we ought to see who's the third guy next week. We'll know who the competition is.
Yeah. I want to be clear on this because, you know, I don't think this means anything about how Danny Pinter did. I mean, first of all, these are OTAs. They're not in pads. It's not full contact. If there's one thing about O-line evaluation, until it's 100% live, you can't really take too much away. They were always going to do this. I think they were always going to have three or four guys that were going to get those first team runs. And it was always going to be reported on because, again, that's what they do. And, you know, we're not really going to know until the preseason starts. And I go back a couple of years and I got thinking about this when we heard Gwynn ran with the ones. Like, there was, I think it was two off seasons ago, we thought it was going to be Daniel Falele versus Ben Cleveland for that starting right guard spot. So yeah, it was two seasons ago, the first year Falele started. And Ben Cleveland, I don't even think, logged a rep at right guard in that entire preseason, right? He played center, he played right tackle, but he didn't play right guard. And this is where, until you get into the preseason games, that you don't really know what to expect. I even go back, I think, 4 or 5 years, Ben Powers didn't run at left guard in the preseason until week one when he started that entire year before he got paid by the Broncos. So even in that point, it can be tough to tell what's really going on. And I remember that I kept tweeting out that he didn't even play it in the preseason. There's no way he starts, went on to start. So it's going to be really interesting to keep track of, especially like Jeff said, like you guys can't really say unless it's answered. So it's going to be one of those things to keep an eye on. But I think it's obvious three guys competing for this spot. No one really has a leg up on anyone at this point.
So to be clear, Jeff, I know you've said multiple times now that you believe, not on based on intel, but based on your gut feeling, that the starting center in 26 is not currently on this 90-man constructed roster. We know you've said that. And by the way, you're frozen. Are you still with us, Jeff? All right, we'll get okay. I wasn't going to ask the entire question if he wasn't with us, which hopefully he'll snap back here in a second. And while he does, we can get caught up on super chats. Why don't we do that? There he goes. Okay. We'll go to the two person bracket. He's been struggling at home with bandwidth. I don't know what the hell's going on in Columbia.
Yeah, do we have the vice president of an internet company watching? Cause you gotta hook my boy Jeff up.
Literally, here he comes now. Let's see if this works. He's on a completely different Wi-Fi. Let's go back to the three bracket. Here we go. Start to facilitate. Jay-Z, you with us?
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, so I was just going to confirm something. I know you've been saying, not based on intel, but based on feeling, you don't think the starting center in 26 is currently on the roster the way this thing's constructed. We just heard from Jesse. He thinks there's three first-team rep-worthy players for the position. Are you saying you're not comfortable, knowing that Pinter and Gwynn have handled that the first 2 weeks of OTAs, are you not comfortable with either one of the undrafted rookies being the third? In Jesse's mind, is that your feeling?
You mean who are we talking about? Dawkins and
Bullock.
And Bullock. No, I think they're comfortable with those guys being the third. I just like look at the message they're sending guys. I mean, they've made it very clear. Eric DaCosta made it very clear that they were bummed not to get come out of that draft with the center. He also said publicly that they could explore trades for a center. If they were all that satisfied with the guys they had, do you think they would have been so outspoken about it? And I mean, yeah, they said, yeah, we feel good about the guys we had, but their actions tell otherwise. And I think everybody around the league expects them to add a center before all said and done. But no, I think they're fine. That you know, Corey Bullock's been around for a couple of years. He's a hardworking guy. He played really well last summer. He deserves a shot. You know, that I have no issue with that. I just still think they'd like to upgrade the group. And I'm more talking about the front of the group, Bobby, rather than the back end of the group.
Yeah, I may not have asked that the right way. I guess what I was just trying to confirm was, do you think between the two, who is the third in what Jesse's referencing with three?
I would think it's Bullock. I would, but I'm not disputing I'm not disputing the possibility that it could be a converted at another position, a guy that we may not have thought about. You know, that they want to give a shot to. I don't think that's the case, but I'm not completely disputing it. They love this cross training. You know, we've seen it for years. I know it's a different coaching staff, but they love cross training guys. I think it's something Eric DaCosta believes in. It helps in roster flexibility with the guys you keep. It increases guys' value to not only their team, but other teams. So I never would dispute the potential that they'd like to cross trade and see somebody else with the starting center. Cause you know, as you rolled on that, like part of that quote was, look, we want to see how this guy looks lined up next to this guy and this, you know, so all that comes the factor, but I'll be interested to see who it is. And assuming that there is a guy and there is a plan to give a third guy a extensive look next week.
Another thing that Jeff got handled yesterday was on the injury front. And I'll read the transcription here from Jesse's answer to your question related to Nnamdi Matabike and Teddy Buchanan. One, it feels like we gained some ground on. The other kind of continued to scuffle. He says, I think Nnamdi is here a lot. He's working. He's doing some certain parts of our program. I'll probably, again, leave that up to him of when it's really to the point where he may be out there, but he's definitely getting a lot of work in. He's trending in a great direction, I would say. Teddy, I think, is really far ahead of schedule. Everybody kind of knows the timeline of when it happened, mid-December, but the way that guy operates, the way that guy works, I don't think there's a timeline for him. He's an impressive dude in how he goes about his business, just as most of our guys are. Cole, Micah Parsons, Patrick Mahomes, Teddy Buchanan, all within that December time frame with knee injuries. Okay, you can only couple them into one bucket when it comes to the recovery timelines. That's all I'm trying to do.
Bobby's just listing his nominates for who's going to be on the cover of Madden this year. It's going to be Micah, Patrick Mahomes, or Teddy Buchanan.
The only way you can cross compare is in their respective rehabs that they find themselves in. A great sign here that Teddy is trending in the right direction to potentially week one, I don't know about training camp, but week one, be where he was last year and beat out Trenton Simpson and Jay Higgins. Cole, what say you?
I thought what was interesting about this is, you know, we didn't hear it in one of the pressers, but we did hear from Jeff last week or the week before that it seemed like Bilal Cohn was pretty far ahead too, which I thought was kind of interesting because I'm shocked that Teddy would be kind of ready to go just based on when the injury happened. Nothing about his work ethic or anything like that. But I think that would be fantastic. I've always been very clear about who I think my dark horse is for that linebacker position. Not many people agree with me. That's fine. It's always been Jay Higgins for me. I just really like his tape. But I feel like if Teddy is able to get healthy and get training camp reps in, it's his job to lose. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense that he would regress from the starting spot. But at the same time, it is a new coaching staff, right? This is going to be a Jesse Minter defense. Jesse Minter might have a different idea for what he wants in a will backer. I do think Trenton Simpson's ceiling is very high if he can get down the mental processing part, just based on his athleticism and his flexibility, what he can do as a blitzer, that sort of thing. But we just haven't able to see him do that yet. Like it's still the mental processing has not caught up to his athleticism at the NFL level. So I'm not going to hang my hat on him to to be that starter. But the only thing holding Teddy back from starting, in my opinion, is his health. So if he's able to get healthy, I would imagine it's his job to lose. And again, that's obviously assuming that he's playing at a healthy level, because we've seen some guys try and work their way back and they've struggled athletically just to kind of get back to normal. We saw it for a couple of years with J.K. Dobbins, for example, where he just wasn't right. We saw it with Keaton Mitchell a little bit as well at the start of last year or the year before. So some of these guys take a little bit of time working back from these injuries. The mental component of trusting their body is a huge piece. So obviously this is, again, based on him being healthy and feeling healthy.
Jeff, anything to add from what you uncovered there? That was pretty much par for the course, I would imagine, in terms
more
of
support what for Jay Higgins coming from Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, some guys, like, you know, when we list the non-participants, and I guess there was 11 guys yesterday, some guys are dealing with injuries we probably don't even know about, whether it's something minor or whatever. Like, for example, Chidobe Awuzie, I've not seen him on the field practicing, but he was on the field yesterday watching practice towards the end of it. So that suggests he's in it. Buchanan was on the field watching practice. Adisa Isaac was on the field watching practice. Adisa Isaac hasn't been cleared yet with the elbow. We know where Matabike is. Buchanan has been out there. He's been a constant in the building. He looks good. You know, he's not participating yet. But, you know, so you don't. Yeah, a lot of times this is just minor stuff this time of year that prevents guys from practicing. So it's not really a big deal because they're in the building. For example, we saw Kyle Hamilton back yesterday. And now he spent half the practice working on conditioning with a trainer, which indicates he is coming back from some minor injury. But he did take part in both individual and full team stuff. So I look, guys, Matabike is the big question mark. I know Mina Kimes said it today, I think, on one of her platforms, that she thinks it's one of the biggest stories in the NFL that nobody's talking about. And I agree. Like, a healthy Matabike is the biggest addition they can make this offseason. I've said that throughout the offseason. So he's still the big one. And, man, getting Buchanan back in any capacity at some point in late July or early August or even mid-August, I think would be a huge boost for them, and such a credit to the kid for how hard he's worked to get back. And if it takes him a little longer, okay. They have Trenton Simpson, who has starting experience, and I thought he played well towards the end of last season, or at least he played better than what we've seen. It looked like he made some progress. They have Jay Higgins there. They're not going to play two linebackers on the field all the time anyway. I think we haven't seen them prioritize that position, which A, suggests they are pretty pleased with Buchanan's recovery. B, the position is not one of the more important positions, because who else they have that could help them, you know, in dime linebacker situations and all that. And C, it suggests some level of, you know, faith in the guys they already have in the building. And there are a couple. Carl Jones is another guy who's there for special teams, but he was on the team late last year, got a couple of game day active. So, you know, I just think it's great. And by all accounts, he's really attacked his recovery. He's beaten every milepost. It's a real credit to him. And guys, you know, I did a note about this. You looked up his Pro Football Reference page, and I was shocked to see he started 13 games. I don't know why that shocked me, but I knew when his injury took place. I just didn't realize he was almost basically the starter from the jump last year. For a rookie fourth round pick, I thought he, you know, there were some tough moments early, like all rookies. I mean, there's tough moments early for Patrick Queen. There's tough moments early for Trenton Simpson, obviously. So I thought he was developing really nicely, which was the shame of the injury. And not to mention it happened on punt coverage, or wasn't it a special teams play? Not even defense. So good thing. I think they're looking good in the injury front. Nate Wiggins had offseason surgery. He was basically on the field throughout yesterday. So any limitations that he's done, he's apparently on the back end of. Kyle Hamilton working his way back. Now they have about Not including today, what do they have? About five more practices, and school's out for the summer. And you want to have as many of those 90 on the field as possible when they start camp in late July.
School out for the summer is the worst thing Jay-Z could possibly hear.
School's out year round here, Cole. I mean, they were off yesterday. Wasn't it a Muslim holiday? I'm sure I'm gonna offend somebody, but yeah, they were off. My son had to drop them off somewhere because we had no coverage around here, and I had to cover the OTA.
Jeepers. Well, I did want to pick up on one thing you said because I think it's really important, and that is the use of dime. And we saw Kyle Hamilton play in the box quite a bit last year as a linebacker. And you go back to the way the Chargers aligned last year, and you know, they had so many snaps where you had St. Juste and Cam Hart out wide with Tarib still in the nickel, and they still would have Derwin James walking down as an overhang into a linebacker spot, and that was while having Elijah Molden and Tony Jefferson on the field. So Jesse Minter has played this dime game where, you know, they basically use Derwin James as a pseudo linebacker. So that option is very much open to them. We've talked about this a number of times because the question becomes, if Kyle Hamilton's your nickel and you have those two safeties with Jalen Hawkins being added, what do you do with Marlon Humphrey? Do you put him outside? Do you play him both? And I think the answer to that is by playing them both, it actually covers your linebacker spot as well. So you're kind of getting a couple of, I know a lot of people don't see Marlon Humphrey as a playmaker right now, but if you go back to 2024, he was a playmaker and he might be able to get back to that 2024 form in a new scheme. So I think it helps you get Marlon on the field with Kyle Hamilton.
Guys, is there a guy not practicing that concerns you right now? Of the guys not practicing,
where the hell's Rashad Bateman?
We haven't seen Bateman. We haven't seen Humphrey. We haven't seen really the majority of the interior defensive linemen, though my understanding was Calais made it clear that he wasn't going to partake in the OTAs. I don't think you want him on the field anyway. You haven't seen Travis Jones. Obviously, we know why Matabike's not there. Starks was there the first time. It's been in the building. I'm not sure the issue there. John Jenkins is another guy. You don't need to see him at his age on the field right now. But
do we know about Ronnie yesterday? Was it injury related or just
sure? But I think that's sort of his pattern, Cole. He kind of comes and goes. And you know what, Cole? They need to get Carson Vincent ready to play, and these reps for him as a starting tackle are great. Now there is one rep where, and I wrote about it, where Trey Hendrickson just beat him badly off the line of scrimmage and had a clean shot at Lamar. Obviously, you don't go near your quarterback, but Trey Hendrickson was hooting and hollering. It was about as clean win as you'll see, but that's good experience for him. I mean, this is, and Minter brought it up, unprompted, basically, that him, Vincent, is spending a lot of time with Hendrickson and picking their brain about stuff like hand placement and leverage and all stuff like that. That's why you do want these rookies to have, not rookies, but these unproven guys to get reps at this time of year with the starters, because it's very possible that Carson Vincent is one play away from being your starting left tackle. So this is an important time for him. Guys like Ronnie not being there, you know, as long as he's been around and he has, yeah, I think that's fine. You don't want or need to see him out there for all 10 of these practices.
I actually think an underrated, just kind of to counter the question you asked, I think Trey Hendrickson being out there and playing so much is a really good sign. I off the injuries last year, I didn't know if he would be, you know, ready to go at this point in the offseason. It seems like he's full go, hasn't really missed much. So I thought that was actually a very positive sign just for a guy who's out there.
And you know what, like, I know the thing that impressed me most about that, Cole, is, you know, he said in his intro press conference after he signed, like, look, I'm just looking forward to getting out there on the grass and being with teammates and putting in the work. And I know that got a lot of snickers from Cincinnati, given he's missed a lot of time and a lot of practices for whether it was the hip or contract or whatever. So I know that that comment about being out there and practicing and all that was, you know, I know I at least on my timeline prompted some responses. So he's been out there and looking good. I you always see him talking to teammates. Yesterday, him and Lamar were talking for a bit. I think in answering my own question, I would say Bateman, just because you feel like this is a fresh start for him. But my understanding is he's been around a good bit. And I know, I think, didn't he tweet about having a new baby, or somebody in social media posted that Bateman had a new baby? Yes. So I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but maybe that's it. And maybe he's away for a couple weeks to, you know, be a dad and do all that stuff. You know, but as I said, I think it would be a little more eyebrow raising if I didn't hear, there you go. That's awesome. I think it would be a little more eyebrow raising if I didn't hear that he's been around the team a good bit and he's pretty excited about things. I think that's the more important thing rather than attendance at a voluntary workout, to be honest.
There he is for our audio only audience. Yeah. To Jeff's point, his Instagram, one of the most recent videos within the last couple of weeks is he and his baby girl here in the pool. So hopefully everything's going well. Being a present, we need more present fathers, that's for sure. But they also need as many players present as possible, especially for a player, in all seriousness, that took a big step back last year, as we know.
I'd be a little more present father if we didn't do the show five times a week, for God's sakes.
I think you're too present, given they send your kids home from school every day.
I know. Seriously.
Let's get caught up on Super Chat, shall we?
We need Captain some present Paper. Teachers, too.
Administrators, whoever's making the call, right, on school days and snow days and rain days and everything else that Jeff's kids have found themselves in. Captain Schaefer says, I'm used to 90 minutes, and how dare you to disparage the vault, LMAO.
I don't think there was any disparaging that went on. I think it was more
than just... You don't watch it.
Well, I don't. I was just being honest.
Yeah, I don't either. So.
What he did do, though, was transcribe one of Jeff's one-liners today, Cole.
I asked a freaking question. Yeah, yeah. I think he said I asked the freaking question. Yeah.
Nick Capecchi, Jeff, is with us. The 20 spot from Nick.
Any chance Baltimore flips EDC's fave, a fifth-round pick for someone like Henley, Brooks, Diablo for inside linebacker if one fails to step up in camp? Just throwing names around, but that group seems a bit thin at the moment. I think they're always looking. They're always looking for the chance if there's upgrades out there. Haven't I read that Miami's really trying hard to extend Jordan Brooks? And I think Henley's kind of a key piece of the defense out there. So, and I know you're just throwing out names, as you said. I don't know. I think if the Ravens make a deal, it's going to be for a center. And I don't see the Ravens making multiple deals. I could see them bringing in a veteran free agent at a spot and maybe making a trade. But every year, I think they go in with the plan they're going to add at the deadline. And they'll need a draft pick or two to do that. And I think they're going to need a draft pick or two to get their center. So I don't really see any other side deals. But who knows? Like, you know, I just don't think that position is a concern. I've not been led to believe that they're really overly concerned, but they are pretty thin there in terms of experience depth. You're absolutely right.
They always seem to pick someone up after cuts, right? Like there's always a special teamer specifically the kind of, and that might just be Carl Brooks this year and you don't see it, but we've seen it a number of times in the last couple of years where they kind of add a linebacker that you weren't expecting. And last year it was actually Jay Higgins as a UDFA who, I don't think going into camp, we expected to make the roster. He just earned it through his play in the preseason to get that last special team spot.
And not the only undrafted guy they leaned on, too. Keon Martin carved himself out a role there.
Ruben Lowry played early until they moved on.
Ruben
was one of the two, right, that made it out of camp?
Three made it. Keon Martin, Ruben Lowry, and Jay Higgins. Yeah. And then they moved on from Lowry pretty early. Jay Higgins obviously had the knee injury that put him on temporary IR for a while. And then they leaned on Keandre Jackson, and he became a key special teams piece. I think I mixed them up because Chandler Martin got a shot too, and then he got injured, right? And I think he's signed elsewhere. I think I saw, was it the Eagles that picked him up? I think it was.
Yeah, he's with the Eagles now.
That was a heck of an undrafted free agent class that they had last year.
More super chats. Captain says, I watch you reading my super chats, Bobby, when you start laughing because I try to be funny. LOL. We all think you're funny, Captain. He's also pretty generous. He dumps these things in consistently between all three channels that I'm a part of. So, Captain,
is he the fire guy?
Captain is, gosh. He's
not the guy that lectures us in fire safety that one time?
Oh, yeah.
Was that him?
That was... What? I find that hilarious. Lectures us on fire safety. No, Eric Hill.
Educates us.
Yeah.
You're talking about Eric Hill. You're talking about no,
Captain. Yeah, Eric.
But I'm just trying to remember, Captain. You're retired. What is it? Military? We went over this recently, and now I need a refresher on it. I'm sure he'll hit us with that context in a minute. Cole, why don't you take this one from Raves?
Jeff, find anything in life joyful. Just my text. I think that's brightens his day.
On national holidays, Jeff. That's when he enjoys them the most.
What is your go-to hobby? Other than podcasting.
I read a lot.
Okay.
I read a lot. You know, can you have hobbies when you have two young kids? I go to every night. I'm at one of my kids' athletic events. Love the beach.
Do you golf?
Both my kids actually, but my oldest has gotten really into sports cards, and I used to be into it, and it's sort of, you know, working with him on it and helping him out and teaching him a little bit the hobby. I do a lot of things. Let's not act like I'm really one dimensional here, guys.
We got to get Jay-Z on the golf course. That's what
I can't. I haven't been on I love golf as a fan, Cole. I enjoy being out there. I go to tournaments. But I haven't played since I was probably 12 years old. I actually was playing one time with a friend. I used to take a vacation with his family in the Poconos. And we were playing, and he had a hole in one I saw a hole in one live.
Hell yeah. I tell you what, that's too bad too, because in your line of work, in our line of work, sometimes you get perks and opportunities. Like, I'll never forget when the Caves Valley invitation came my way when I was in radio. I mean, Caves Valley is where the BMW championship's been in recent years.
You radio and TV guys are all about effing perks. Like, I'm about putting in the work and grinding. You're about the perks and the free golf and the free hair transplants and whatever the hell else you're taking.
Cole, here we go. The rift, the disconnect between non-traditional and traditional. Here we go, baby. Hey, I've lived both lives, all right?
Yeah.
Not the beat life, but I've lived both. Traditional and non-traditional. I see your world. I know your world.
One of my good friends, he's been my good friend since high school. He was in the TV news business in Harrisburg. And God, that's all he would ever ask for me. Tickets and free me and comped meals. Jesus.
You want to know why, Cole? Because we rough it for so
rough it.
The first percentage of this career, right? The business just chews you up and spits you out.
That I would agree with.
Don't get to that stage where they can enjoy their lives. They don't make it that far, you know? So when the perks come up, they seem desperate.
I can't believe you said you're getting free air transplants.
He doesn't even want one. I could set him up with Bosley tomorrow. And he ain't gonna decline it.
Yeah, I absolutely would.
Stray Dog for you, Jeff.
The Dynamic Trio, love the work you guys are putting in. Remember, today's accomplishments were yesterday's impossibilities. Break every chain.
Love it from
Dre. Dre Dog's the man.
Every time. Yeah. Love it.
Appreciate you, Dre. And Captain is back, Cole.
Cole trusting their bodies after surgery is huge. I agree. I think it's one of the most underrated part that I think we're starting to learn a lot more of now that we have a lot more open players and, you know, the transition, you know, much to what we were talking about, seeing more players do things like podcasts, start their own channels. I think you get to learn a little bit from their recovery journey. I think it's been one of the most underrated things in the last 5 to 10 years is just kind of getting more of that story behind the scenes. Not that we didn't have great media people out there to do it before.
Look who we got here. The Super Bowl champ, friend of the program, Femi.
Femi.
Jay-Z, has anyone spoken to the new verbiage and nomenclature in Declan's offense and how similar or different it is than Monk? Plays generally overlap in systems, but motion, shifts, tags can get verbose. You're absolutely right. And that was a big issue, remember, in Romans, when Roman was here, and it was just too much. And that was one of the things Harbaugh asked to cut down on, less words and shorter and to get the plays out quickly. And now I don't think that was a big problem last year. I think they really cut down on a lot of the pre-snap running the play clock. Femi, yeah, Lamar spoke a little bit about it yesterday and how why it's important that he's beat, how he's here, to start picking up the new verbiage and everything like that. And I think it's something to watch. I think it's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. I think we haven't really gotten specifics yet with a lot of the offensive players. And look, like we've talked to Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. That's kind of been it so far beyond Jesse Minter. Those have been the two offensive players available. John Simpson, too. In the first week of OTA. So I do think that's going to be an interesting question to watch and sort of monitor and how that is, because it's all new. And Lamar said the word new about a dozen different times yesterday to describe what they're doing. But the one thing he also did is smile and talk about how excited he is. And then he said, we're all excited about how the offense is being built. So I think that's a pretty good sign.
I think this is one of those interesting things because we've seen Declan Doyle work under two primary guys, and they couldn't be more different from a verbiage perspective. You have Sean Payton, who is known for extremely dense, complex playbooks. And then you have Ben Johnson, who's more of the kind of like the Earhart Perkins system, where it's they group verbiage based on concepts, and it gets a lot. That was like the old New England days. That Tom Brady's playbooks were known for was being a little bit more simplistic in the sense of how things are tagged and named. So I think that's going to be really interesting because he's been kind of exposed as an understudy to both ends of the spectrum, both in West Coast offense approaches, but just in a very different type of way in organizing a playbook.
Thanks, Fem. And Captain Schaefer gets us out on this, answering my question. You didn't need to drop a super chat in to answer this, but we appreciate another one. He says, seriously, no, I retired from the Maryland Army National Guard, who led a convoy into Iraq during major hostilities. I led over 100 missions beyond the wire, 1% of 1%. He loves the U.S., and we love him for explaining this thoroughly. Retired from the Maryland Army National Guard. So
you owe the captain $10, Bobby.
Yeah,
I really do, especially coming off Memorial Day weekend where he and others were celebrating.
I mean, you should know your listeners a little better than you did, and you wouldn't have had to ask that question, which prompted him to pay $10 to answer it.
Unbelievable.
Listen, yeah. Captain does not need – I just told him he doesn't need to send in super chats for questions that we hypothetically ask him.
Well, we appreciate him for a lot of reasons.
Yes,
we
do. Thank you for your service.
Appreciate you, Captain. And appreciate everybody for hanging out with us on this Thursday. We will next be back on Tuesday. It's the third and final week. Is it, Jeff?
Yeah, yeah. Bobby, and that's the last open OTA Tuesday. The attendance there is always interesting to watch because in some cases you've got guys who want to be fresh for the mandatory mini camp. That's sort of everything's building to that the final mandatory mini camp. In other cases, you got guys who want to at least be on the same page and want to be familiar with everything that's going on, may not have been here for a decent part of the program and want to make sure they're not starting from square one for that first mandatory minicamp practice. So they show up for the last couple of, OTAs. So that'll be next week. So the attendance, as always, will be interesting. And, it's been fun. They put out more videos of Lamar there today. And we'll keep seeing more and more. We didn't even talk about guys. The young receivers looked really good yesterday. Devontae Walker had a really nice practice. I think Dayton Wade kind of always stands out in May. Like we always kind of talk, he just seems to be, this has become a third year thing now, but They hit Devontae Walker on a couple of crossers, and he was, I know it's not padded, but he was running away from people. You know, I've talked about this a lot, guys. You watch how guys move nowadays and how much confidence and how assertive they are. Those are the kind of things that stand out more to me at this time of year. And he's moving around like he's a lot more confident in himself and in his place. And a big summer for him would go a long way.
One of the many things we'll be following next week and then on into mini camp and everything else that June has to bring. And then just to reiterate, next week will be Tuesday only, and then we'll be back Tuesday, Thursdays in August. So we're going to cut back a little bit this summer and get ready for our second full season together. So, oh, and by the way, thanks to everybody for allowing us to reach the 8,000 subscription milestone. If you find yourselves unsubscribed at the moment and you're one of the 1,500 plus concurrents joining us, please go ahead and change that so we can get 10,000 subscriptions in the near future. For Cole, for Jeff, I'm Bobby. Thanks to Prize Picks for the continued support of the program. We'll catch up with you guys on Tuesday and have a wonderful weekend. Nice and smooth, fellas.